You mentioned the CALGB trial that was updated at the ASCO meeting. Can you kind of go through what was reported and what the implications and controversy that's come out of that?
So in stage 1B non-small cell lung cancer, this was a trial of adjuvant carboplatin and paclitaxel versus observation after one surgery. And 2 years ago, it was shown at a median follow-up of either 3 or 4 years to have a 15% improvement in median survival, which had a very statistically significant p-value. But there are some who appropriately caution that the follow-up was not quite as mature as what had been reported for other adjuvant therapies, say the BR-10 Canadian trial of cisplatin and vinorelbine. This year, we saw an update of that data, and although the survival was clearly still in favor of the group that got adjuvant chemotherapy, the p-value was no longer significant for overall survival, although the disease-free survival and the 3-year survival and I believe the 4-year survival did have statistically significant p-values. So the question's arisen, really, is this a stage-specific phenomenon, a treatment-specific phenomenon, and what should be done both with this stage of disease and this regimen in other adjuvant trials?
And I guess the progression-free survival, though, continued to be favorable. Is that correct?
Yes.
What do we know about, and this certainly comes up in other tumors, breast cancer, colon cancer, or, you know, FOLFOX doesn't have survival data right now, about disease-free survival and adjuvant lung cancer predicting survival?
My overall feeling would be that that would probably intuitively be a good predictor of overall survival, but I'm not aware that we have data that's been presented in that fashion for any of the prior trials in this setting.
What do you think is going on in terms of this trial, in terms of the explanation of these data?
This trial was hard to accrue to, again, for whatever reason, and so the trial was amended to allow a small number of patients, and because the accrual was slow, you had more time to sort of study each event and data point. But I think it doesn't necessarily change my feeling about the overall trial or my practice. I mean, there's always been more ambiguity as to how much the 1Bs were benefiting as opposed to the 2s and 3s, and it makes sense that in the worst stage disease, your magnitude of benefit, your relative increase in outcome will be better for adjuvant therapy. So in stage 2 and 3, I think everyone clearly will want to recommend adjuvant therapy in the resected patient. In 1A, I don't think there's any data to suggest adjuvant therapy, and in 1B, it's worth a discussion.
You know, looking at the models that have evolved out of breast and colon cancer, you might be tempted to say it's, quote, an events thing. You know, there in the other tumors, we believe there's a relative risk reduction. It's just harder to, you know, document what's going on in the lower risk patient. Is that the way you see this?
I think that one needs to do a very large trial in 1Bs with a cisplatin-based regimen so that that takes the variable of the carboplatin out and see what we get.
So it sounds like you have concerns in terms of carbo in the adjuvant setting.
I think the bulk of, if not all the data now, is for cisplatin-based therapy. And there's innumerable studies that suggest, either individual studies or meta-analyses, that cisplatin-based therapy is clearly related with a higher response rate, relatively lower risk of death than carboplatin-based therapy. And while that may be mitigated by toxicity in the advanced stage patient, in the early stage patient, I think we're incumbent to use what gives the greatest chance of cure.